superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Look at it. Look at it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
He's going to take it the length of the court, puts it up with a left hand. Who needs James Harden?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So what do you make of all this, Richard, with Harden?
Sometimes players do this to show people this is what you're going to get if you're going to keep me someplace that I don't want to be.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Brian Baldinger. Coming up, ESPN announcer Chris Fowler. Six-time Pro Bowl receiver Chad Ochocinco Johnson, plus actor Scott Glenn. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. It is hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Great chat with Brian Baldinger. Scott Glenn, the actor, God bless him, 81 years of age. And he's in the new movie Greenland, and that has it. But it's a fun movie. It has nothing to do with our current president trying to swap it for Puerto Rico. Nothing to do with that.
Wow.
And but Scott Glenn has been in some amazing films. I can't wait to talk to him about Silence of the Lambs, Hunt for Red October, The Right Stuff, and playing Alan Shepard in that. As you know, the star of that film, Sam Shepard. He played, why am I blanking on him? He just passed away. Well, anyway, I shouldn't just go down a rabbit hole of me trying to come up with names off the top of my head when I'm in the middle of a 3-hour show at the end of a week. But anyway, Scott Glenn's going to be joining us in hour number three. Ochocinco, who I haven't spoken to in well over 10 years, is going to be on this program. We had Richard Jefferson on yesterday. He, along with Ocho, is, along with Carrie Champion and Lindsey Vonn. He is hosting the Sports Illustrated Awards this weekend. Chuck Yeager, by the way, is the name. Thank you very much, everybody. Brian
Chuck
Baldinger.
Yeager,
thank you,
Chuck
Chris.
Yeager.
You're a little late.
Got it.
The higher register that we're going to be doing later this hour is Dynamite. You know, because you always got to go. Again, we do a segment every Friday where you got to go to make your point and believe what you're saying. You got to go up here. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you know. Maybe the Cowboys do have a chance, like that sort of stuff. I look directly at you when I say that to you.
That should be something you say in a normal voice.
You've been
voice.
Doing that higher register literally for like 6 straight weeks. But anyway, mine later on this hour is Dynamite. I cannot wait for that. This gent joining in right now is going to be calling Clemson and Notre Dame on ABC. What time is that going to be, Mike Del Tufo?
4 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you.
Rich.
I turned to the man from New Jersey who never went to Notre Dame but claims him as his own team.
43 years.
Because he would never root for Rutgers. I always turn to you since you're so locked in. He's calling this game on ABC. He's also got a Dynamite podcast that I was on that he co-produces with his wife, Jennifer. Chris Fowler here on the show. How are you, Chris?
Outstanding, Rich. Happy holidays. How are you?
I'm great, Chris. I don't know if you watched the first hour of the show here on Peacock, but there was a debut in the first hour of the program as I talked about the blowouts that you've been calling that we assume will not happen this weekend. Stanley the Cat made a Peacock debut in hour number one. Staring you down.
You should have alerted Jennifer. I appreciate that. That Stanley's a, you may have a brand. I mean, we're building a brand around him.
Yes, indeed. Yes, is he staring you down after calling it?
Well, the story is, look, I mean, we live in Miami Beach a lot of the time. So that was a home game.
Yes.
The latest beatdown in a long season of him. We come home. We're having dinner. He does something he's never done before. He jumps on the chair at the head of the dining room table and puts his face on top of the table and has you showed the picture. A forlorn look, but also an empathetic look. Like, I cannot believe you had to call another blowout. when I know you had high expectations for this game. Is there anything I can do?
Yes.
It's been rough. He was offering support, and your family are animal lovers, so you understand the importance of that emotional support in a time of need, and he was trying to provide it for me. So.
Well, in the question that was provided in the copy on this photograph, will you ever call a close game again? I think we know the answer to it, and I think you're about to, Chris. Let's put it that way.
Oh, not so fast, my friend. I hope. We thought last week was going to be great. Last week was a three-point. Carolina was an underdog. Win it by 36. Now Notre Dame.
Yes.
And I just got off the phone with the Irish fan, that I just got off the phone with Ian Book and Brian Kelly and those guys, and they feel a chip too, because Vegas has made them a 10.5-point underdog in round two. So both teams kind of arrive with a chip. Yes, we have high expectations, but I am so brutalized by the scores, Rich, that I no longer go in optimistic. I go in neutral, expecting nothing, and I'd be pleasantly surprised if we get a classic.
Well, it looks like, again, these are evenly matched teams based on what we saw earlier this year, and I know that Trevor Lawrence did not play in that game in South Bend, and he will play in this one. How do you see that playing out going in? Have you spoken to Trevor Lawrence as well yet?
Have you? I have, and Notre Dame students got in his face. He's pretty easy to spot, you know.
Six,
blonde hair, no helmet after the game, and they bum rushed the field. And in the mosh pit afterwards, some of them found Trevor and James Skalski, who's not a cat you want to get in his face of, the middle linebacker of Clemson, who also missed that first game because of an injury, not COVID. He's due back. And those guys said a little extra fuel, not that you need it, but a little extra fuel, because Notre Dame students let them know all about what had just happened. And you know, Trevor's kind of he's a quiet competitor. He doesn't grandstand his emotions, but he feels them. And I think, that doesn't mean you're going to win the game. It's just more fuel for him.
Well, I mean, and we had Dabo on the show 2 weeks ago, and I asked him point blank, you know, do you think, because of the stakes that this game clearly has, that the loser of this game might be on the outside looking in, looking at a team that has played half of the number of games that either one of these have played, getting in, and they're out, asking that of Dabo, essentially, is Ohio State the Ohio State worth it?
You threw him a giant piece of red meat, and
I did.
Sure he bit on it.
He sure did. He spit it out and swallowed the bones, too. And I asked Brian Kelly the same question when I had him on 2 days before, and these guys are like, we've gone through a whole season in COVID, and these kids have played it all, and they've spilled their hearts out. And that nobody that's played half a schedule as we have deserves to be in, essentially, is what I'm wrapping it up. What do you think of this subject going into this game? Because I'm sure you and Kirk will be talking about it.
I think their feelings are genuine. I do think that part of it also, nobody really wants to see Ohio State in there. If you have a choice to have another team, you might choose that, because we know that they're good enough to win it if they get in it. But should they be? That's a very fair question. I would tend to be in line with Dabo and Brian Kelly's opinion. And yeah, I know how challenging it's been week to week. I know with the mental wear and tear beyond the physical stuff these teams have gone through. When you play double the schedule, basically, you've had double the duress. And Ohio State to arrive, you know, not that they haven't had stress when they miss games. Don't get me wrong. It's stressful to sit games out and they're going through practice and all that. But still, when you have to lay it out there on the field, and this is game six for them, and I think you know the rumors that are swirling, by the way, that they are going to face Northwestern likely down a top-line receiver or two. We don't know for sure. They put that off until tomorrow, but there are more COVID issues in the Ohio State program, and if they follow the protocol that's set out by the Big Ten, and the CFP requires you to go back to your conference protocol, they would miss the playoff, because the playoff is right up close to these end of the games. And so that's in play, too. That's sort of tomorrow's news, but it's already been leaking out for the last 24 to 36 hours. Maybe it's Chris Olave. Maybe it's Garrett Wilson. Nobody's saying for sure. I don't know for sure, but those are the names. Those are important names to have on Ohio State's team. But no, I think that the committee's already kind of weighed in on that, though, haven't they, Rich? And that's why Kelly and Dabo are upset about it, because they're already in the top four, having played five games. And it's not like they face murderer's row, let's be honest, okay? Indiana was a seven-point win. And it's proven to be a quality team, but that's pretty much it in terms of the teams that they've handled on their schedule. It's something to brag about, and that's a factor, too. If you played five really strong teams, that's different than the schedule they played. So it's a volatile issue. It's not personal. Ohio State fans always think it's personal. They have a very vocal, energized fan base.
Yes.
You didn't know.
Yes.
I think you know. But they're going to act like it's a conspiracy. We're being singled out. I mean, it's not that. It's just whatever team was in their position, I think you could feel the same way about it, regardless of who it is.
And did Brian Kelly bring up to you what he said on a Zoom earlier today about maybe if they wind up in the Rose Bowl where COVID protocols are keeping fans from the stands, that they wouldn't play at a site that doesn't allow families in there? He was pretty hot about it. I'm wondering if did he bring that up with you at all?
He was emotional on our call. I could feel it catching in his voice when he was talking about the idea of players' parents not being able to see their sons play after all that families have been through this season.
Right.
This not being a typical year in that way. I think he felt more strongly about it. He did not proclaim that they would be reluctant to play in a game where the parents couldn't attend. I don't know what that's about. I seriously doubt if Notre Dame is seeded 2 or 3 and heads to Pasadena. And I'm presuming Alabama's going to win, by the way. If Alabama wins, they're a lead pipe lock to be in New Orleans as the top seed. And the 2-3 game would be in Pasadena. And you don't want to be the 4 seed in theory. So you like to be 2 or 3, which would put them, I don't know if it'd be Clemson, Notre Dame around 3 or what, but the 2-3 game is very likely to be there. It's certain to be there if Alabama wins. But yeah, I mean, do you think there's any chance you're out there? I'm not.
Yep.
Any chance that the rules get, do they make an exception?
No, sir.
I think they're lobbying. I don't have any problem with people lobbying and trying to leverage to get regulations changed. I just know that in California, relaxing regulations does not seem likely at this point, given what else is going on out there. But I don't know the climate that much.
I'll be very honest with you, Chris, that there was a video that went viral here in California and across the country of a bar owner who here in Los Angeles was told that she could not have any outdoor seating, that she spent thousands upon thousands of dollars putting together. And across the street, there was an outdoor tent for seating for craft services for a movie or a TV show that was being shot or a commercial. And there's a lot of sensitivities about out here about making exceptions for businesses that that are not made for regular everyday businesses. It's really raw out here, man. There's no other way to put it. And I don't know the way through it. The 49ers, as you know, are a home team in Arizona because of what's going up in Santa Clara. It's just like every other part of our life where COVID is putting a thumb of pressure on every pressure point and we're all feeling it. And that's one of the reasons why I was wondering, why didn't the college committee decide? And I understand, I guess Dabo Swinney's like, when I brought this up with him, he's like, we didn't want to extend the season another day. But, you know, why not have 8 teams? You know what I'm saying? Like, we could avoid all this and get Coastal Carolina involved and do this and just play just a couple extra games. Like, that. Did you ever hear anything about that to try and change things around in the same way that baseball did for its expanding playoffs and so on and so forth? Did you hear anything like that this year, Chris?
No, because there's no central control of the sport, Rich. Had there been, I think that makes a lot of sense. You could have done it from the start. The conferences would have had to start closer together. But you're right. It would have been a perfect year for an 18 playoff. People have been clamoring for it anyway. I think you're seeing some other things unrelated to COVID in the sport that are kind of pushing us toward playoff expansion for very legitimate reasons. But because every conference, although they claim to be working and communicating together before this, really they're out there for their own interests. And that's the way it's always been. So the fact that they started at a staggered time kind of ruled out an expanded playoff, but it's too bad. I agree. This would have been a good year for it.
So which game are you calling of college football semi? Are you going to be out here for the Rose Bowl? Is that the plan that for you right
likely
now?
Likely. That's been the pattern, yeah. I mean, when the Rose Bowl was in play, we've done it. That's the thing, too, is that it's not as simple as just, you know, the CFP saying, hey, forget the Rose Bowl, moving the game to Dallas, which has been the source of speculation, or anywhere else. Because of the special relationship with that game. And it is a standalone event. It is the granddaddy. It does have a special place in the history of the sport. The rotation comes around every 3 years. The Rose Bowl hosts a semifinal game in concert with the game in the Superdome. It's not as simple to say, hey, move it this year. They get it back next year. I mean, anything is possible. You've seen rules changed and altered to achieve the desired outcome constantly. So it's not impossible. It's just not simple. And I think that the relationship's a little uneasy. The CFP and the Rose Bowl, I mean, they're both you know, institutions now. Right. One's been around a lot longer than the other, and I just don't think it's as simple. If it was any other game, I think it'd be much easier to move it. But you know, listen, I'll show up wherever they send us.
Sure. No, I
think what people have to understand too, what you described is very important, that I don't think Brian Kelly or Dabo will understand. You can't, it's not just, it's a massive place, put a few hundred people in there. I understand that makes sense. I think the risk would be very, very low with people spaced out. But you have to bring in security and concessions. You have to put people who would normally not have to work that game. Even if you have any fans in there, as you know, it's not as simple as open the gates, go find a seat,
right?
You know, enjoy your son's game. It's not that easy.
Definitely not.
However, saying that it's not like it's not doable. Also, I think you're right. The climate out there is so fraught and so unique right now.
Chris Fowler here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's turn to your pod before we send you back into your day, getting ready for this great game. Who you got? It's called Fowler. Who you got? And you've got Jeanette Lee and Jay Billis this week. You've got Barkley next. I did it. I think I was in the inaugural episode.
You were the inaugural jumbo multiple double album episode. Yes, you're very gracious. Told some great stories.
It's fun.
We had some fun, and that's sort of the theme. It's not really sports, although there are sports people all over it, like some that you named. But it's just, as you do this every day, you talk to interesting people about different topics. Yep. You learn a lot. Inspiring is an overused word. We had Dan Patrick on though, talking about his serious, prolonged battle with depression, and he opened his heart and he bled, and it was important to hear him say that, and we got a lot of tremendous feedback. Harry Gulman, a comedian, same thing. Mental health has been a focus of the pod and will continue to be, because it just helps people and we need it now more than ever. And for Dan, the podcast format, as you know, kind of lends itself mm-hmm. to just kind of a relaxed, in-depth conversation about stuff that you wouldn't normally get to. And that's what's been fun. I mean, Charles is just makes people laugh. That's our Christmas gift. You know,
I love
season one finale. I mean, it's supposed to be about golf stories, because he loves golf. That's his biggest passion in life, mm-hmm. I think, including basketball. But he talks about everything. He talks about football, Bo Jackson, announcing, social media, gambling. I mean, we hit on everything, because that's the way Charles operates. So that'll be fun.
And it's where all podcasts are acquired, and Jennifer's producing it, correct, with you, right?
She is co-executive producing it. It's been a fun collaboration. She has a lot of input. We edit it together.
How's that work? How's that work, Chris? How's that process?
What to leave in, what to cut out.
Right.
They're healthy discussions, but they're loving healthy discussions. It's good. It's been fun. I mean, Charles needed no editing, so it was easy.
By the way, there's nothing that requires to hit the cutting room floor with Charles Barkley. You got to put every last ounce in there as well. And then Stanley, does Stanley have a say in what gets into the pod or not? Stares?
He's trying to flex a little bit. I think he's if he yawns or nods off, I guess that's feedback. I guess it's having a say. But when a creature sleeps 20 hours a day, how much can you really draw from that? I mean, if he goes to sleep just because he's a cat, it might not mean it's because the topic is boring.
So understood.
You have to sort of weigh that off.
Yeah, can't take it personally. Can't take it personally. But I just hope you did not properly read into him staring at you, saying that another blowout is coming, because I think Clemson and Notre Dame is going to be great. And one last thing, Chris, just a moment for me to use a Kilbourne turn here. How is Trevor? I'm speaking as a Jet fan, and your wife is from the Long Island area, so you must know through her a bunch of Jet fans. How is Trevor doing? Is he ready to, come north?
I haven't brought up the JETS topic with him.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few other conversations around if he's a Heisman finalist. I think.
Sure.
I mean, I think his focus is where it needs to be, but I also think he is so ready, man. He is. He's physically and mentally ready. He's as ready as you can be. I think I told you I saw him in the spring before his freshman season, because you hear about these guys and you want to see in person, and you go, okay, I get it. The arm, but just the presence, the charisma. He is so mentally advanced. I think, it's a test of all that, though, when you go to an organization as – well, I'll choose my words carefully. As struggling as the Jets are at the current moment, I mean,
It's okay, Chris. When he ran away, when he
thing you really wouldn't wish on a player you've enjoyed covering in college. I do this all the time because the best players go to the worst teams. You always feel like, oh, Joe Burrow, as Herb Street calls, like the black hole of the NFL. But you know, but then again, you know, look what Baker's done at Cleveland.
Exactly.
What Lamar's done with his success. So I see all these Heisman guys who can go in there, and if you can turn it, man, it's beautiful. So
sure.
Now turning it is not easy.
No, I know that. But when he ran away from the Ohio State defense in the college football semifinal last year, Chris. That was it for me. I never dreamt in a million years the Jets could be three losses away from actually having the right to draft him in the National Football League. So I understand that you point out as you're getting set to call his game against Notre Dame and that there is the Heisman Trophy that is in the first week of January, there are more germane questions to ask him. There is none more germane to me. And since I have you here, can you ask him how he's doing for me?
Is what you don't know. I mean, you talk about guys 33-1 in college, right? And he won everything in high school, too.
Right?
So now you go in there and like Burrow, you're going to take more losses in your first month than you've had in your career.
Yep.
And how do you handle that when you're a fierce capital F competitor as Trevor is, and everything he doesn't really know what it's like to lose a game as a starter. I mean, once. Last year in that game in the Superdome we're talking about. But now you got to learn to do that. You got to absorb those. You got to stay positive, stay strong in it. Not that he can't, but that's the biggest adjustment for players coming off great college teams into struggling NFL teams.
All right. So then just tell him I said hello, Chris. Okay, that's it. That's all I ask then, instead of asking him how
he's doing. Talk to him again, and I'll slip in a Jets question just because I think the audience is interested in it. I mean, are they really trying to lose? Is that your professional opinion?
Yes, they're not. They're not, but I'm hoping they do. Chris, best to Jennifer. Have a great cast. Fowler, who you got with Jeanette Lee and Jay Billis this week? Dan Patrick last week, a must listen there. And then next week, Charles Barkley, just in time for the holidays, where all podcasts can be acquired. Fowler, who you got? Chris Fowler, thanks for having us today.
You're very kind, Rich. I appreciate that. Happy holidays.
Right back at you. You got it. That's Chris Fowler, everybody. Chris Fowler, here on The Rich Eisen Show. You will not ask him about the Jets. He will not use that real estate, and that's okay. Let's take a break, because this man called in. I think he listened to the last half of the conversation.
Yeah. He called in early.
He must be so excited to talk to me, because I haven't spoken to him in a long time, and he owes me a pair of Devos. Chad Ochocinco, when we come back on The Rich Eisen Show. I cannot wait.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Okay, we're back here on Peacock, and so is Saved by the Bell, a Peacock original, streaming right now. Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley return to action in Bayside on Peacock, where you can catch The Rich Eisen Show every day after the Dan Patrick Show and before Brother from Another. We'll take you to that program with Michael Holly and Michael Smith later on today. Still to come on this show, the actor Scott Glenn, who is in so many great movies, Hunt for Red October and Silence of the Lambs and Right Stuff and Urban Cowboy and Apocalypse Now. He's in the new movie Greenland. Can't wait to talk to him. The Higher Register that's coming up later this hour. I don't know if I've put a better one together, quite honestly.
You want to give us a hint?
No,
or?
I'm pumping it for the Heisman.
Oh, great.
I'm pumping it for the Heisman.
Good luck.
And we are mere seconds away from our radio audience returning to make us one big, happy, simulcast family. We had Richard Jefferson on the show yesterday to talk about the Sports Illustrated Awards back here on The Rich Eisen Show. Richard Jefferson was dynamite yesterday, talking about everything going on with James Harden in the NBA. He and Lindsey Vonn and Carrie Champion and this next guest will be hosting the Sports Illustrated Awards on over 20 digital streaming and social platforms. This man used to be my go-to interview in the first few years of NFL Total Access. We would fire up Bengals Cam for him, and it would be gold. It would be gold, Jerry. Gold, I tell you. He is none other than the one, the only, Chad Ochocinco here on The Rich Eisen Show. Chad, it's been too long, wouldn't you say?
You know, it has been very long. It's been very long, and I would like for us to do something about that.
Okay. What would you like to do about that?
In 2021,
yes.
I need you and I
yes.
to either work together
okay.
in some capacity to where we get that relationship again.
Okay.
You and I, we were on a pace to be like the modern-day Howard Cosell and Muhammad Ali. Like, we were there.
We were there. We were at the mountaintop. You are correct, Chad. So I have, you know, just announced yesterday with Westwood One Podcasting, a new podcast shingle. Would you like to do one together, Chad?
You know what? I think we need to do that. We need, not just you and I need to do that. We need to mend our relationship, but the world needs to witness and be a part of that journey that you and I once had.
Okay. So we could call it Ocho Cinco and Shekel Zero or something like that. What do we do? I don't know. I don't know what we could, but Chad and Rich, I don't know. We could do something. We got something.
I mean, listen, the ideas are endless.
They are.
And I'm sure we can have people, we can have people come up with something that would be, you know, that would be the best for both of us, and it'd be pure okay. content gold.
So hold on a second, Chad. Before we get to that, though, I think there is something that that is still outstanding between the two of us
okay.
that needs to be addressed before we move forward, even with this interview. Do you recall
okay.
the 2009 Pro Bowl in uh-huh. South Florida? Do you remember that? We were all in
yeah.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah.
You said yeah. at the time on live NFL Network television, there is somewhere in the archives of NFL Network, the receipts, if you will, of you saying that you were going to send me a pair of Debo slippers. You were saying that in 2009. I told you 10.5 was my size,
okay.
and you said I'm going to send them to you. It's almost 2021, Chad, and I still don't have them. What are we going to do about this?
We can resolve that issue very simply. Because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you're in L.A., right?
I am.
So we're going to go get the Debos together. We're going to, I'll pick you up. We're going to go to the Slauson swap meet. We're going to go to the Slauson swap meet and get you a 10.5 pair of Debos. Now, I'm not sure what your favorite color is.
Okay.
They have them in black. They have them in blue. They have them in red.
I'll go blue because,
okay.
you know, I'm a Michigan guy, and I like saying the words
okay.
go and blue next to each other. I'll go blue.
Okay.
Isn't there a way to, you know, it's not that I want to hang with you, Chad. I would love to.
Right.
Is there a way to ship them somewhere? Supposed.
I mean,
to...
I think it'd be better instead of shipping. We can make this a more formal.
Okay.
You know, have a conversation.
Okay.
Have coffee, cigar,
okay.
talk, catch up.
Cigar.
You know, it's been years, and
it
we can
been.
Talk about the development of a show that you and I can do later on in the future. And I think that an Uber ride would be much better than.
We could film it. We could turn it into the
it's
pilot
content.
Episode. It's
Chad
content.
Is talking about gold. Rich and Chad in the first ever episode of whatever the hell they're going to do together go shopping for Debos that Rich has been waiting for 12 years. Literally.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
Wow.
Chad, I have a 12-year-old. I have a 12-year-old son that's almost as old as me waiting for you to actually give me what you told me you were going to give me. Almost.
I got you. I got you. I got you. I promise.
What is going on? And you're doing NFL The Grind stuff. I love watching you do this show. You enjoy, like, do you want to be part of the paparazzi, like, full-time here, Chad? Like, is this what you want to do? You're co-hosting
you know,
a show here. You're doing stuff for NFL films. I see you're part of what's going on with Madden, announcing whose
yeah.
rating is what. I see what you're up
right.
to. I keep tabs on you, Chad.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. It's just something when the camera is rolling. Despite my grandmother always saying I have a face for radio, the fact that I'm able to manipulate the camera, you know, regardless of whatever the content is that I'm filming,
yes.
is pretty good. And when the camera is rolling, I am gold. I need no script. Just put it in front of me. Give me some talking points, and I'm good to go. And I can just have a whole show by myself with literally nothing.
Speaking of which, you once said that you were, if you ever made it to the Super Bowl, that you'd do the media day with only a towel on. But I didn't see that when you made it with New England. Is that because Belichick would have never let you do that? Is that what
yeah,
happened?
I mean, listen, it's one thing playing in that atmosphere. And, you know, the Patriots don't play that. There's a certain mantra called the Patriot way. And when you enter that building, you can feel it. Nobody has to tell you. It's just the way you can just feel it. It's the aura, the vibe, the yes. energy. It's a place of very militant in a sense. I've never been to the Army, never been to any of that stuff. But if I had to take a guess what it's like and the discipline it took, you know, where other people's lives are in danger and you have to do everything the right way, it would be playing with the Patriots. But it was enjoyable because there was one thing that was going to happen at the end of the day, no matter what. You were going to win.
That definitely happened. What do you think is going on with Brady right now in Tampa, where it you know, because you just mentioned how it was a very regimented style in New right. England, and obviously he had 20 years of being involved in that. Mm-hmm. Now he's in a new mm-hmm. spot. You know, what do you think is happening with this team right now?
And it's early. You have to, and people need to understand, this is Brady's first year. Off season, pandemic, not having the time to gel, build that chemistry with receivers, offensive linemen, that stuff takes time. So what we're used to seeing with Brady in New England is built over time and time and time, spent with different players, coaching staff, everybody knowing each other, knowing what he does well, mm-hmm. knowing his strengths, knowing his weaknesses, because we all have them no matter how great we are. And I think with a year under their belt and an off season under their belt as far as next year is concerned, we'll get to see the same old Brady. We've seen flashes of his greatness, and then we've seen some of the bad side. Why are we seeing some of the bad side? It's like getting in a new relationship with someone. At times, things don't go how they should because you don't know each other that well yet. The time hasn't set in. There's no level of comfort because you're still getting to know each other. The same thing with him in Tampa Bay. And I guarantee you next year, things will be different. Why? Because of the time they've been able to put in, not only this season, but in the off season, preparing for 2021.
Well, and the issue with that is, Chad, is that, you know, the question is, Brady might not have the time. That's the issue. You know what I mean? Like
He has the time. He has the time. Remember, the game of football has nothing to do with age. The game of it's a mental game. It's 90% mental, 10% physical. He will be fine, especially at the quarterback position. He'll be fine.
Who's the best mental receiver you've ever been around, Chad?
Ooh, a lot of them. Probably who's Mazzara?
TJ.
Yeah, TJ.
You and TJ.
TJ was brilliant.
You and TJ and Carson, man, you had it. I mean, that was it right there, man.
It was beautiful.
But that was it. I mean, you had it, and then, you know, Kemal Van Olhoffen, you know, came right in, and that was the end of all of that, man. I mean, what a bummer. You guys
that was our year.
Best team you ever were on, right? Would that be, or maybe the Patriot one that you were?
I mean, obviously,
that roster.
That Patriot year, that team was unbelievable. I mean, but it's like that all the time. I was more of a contributor in Cincinnati during that year, where we played phenomenal offensively, and defense was having takeaways galore.
Right.
You know? So, but yeah. Definitely the Bengals that year. That was our year.
Who's the best receiver today? I mean, you've got
him. That's a good one. That's a good one. And the funny thing, I've been studying all of them even before the season started. You know, your top 10, your top 5 are normally always the same based on production and targets that they get because they're a huge part of their offense. And right now, to me, I love Davante Adams. I love Davante Adams because he's consistent year in and year out, but doesn't get the praise that he should from outside media and pundits that are supposed to know the game extremely well. And there are some other great ones. You know, I like Keenan Allen. Obviously, you know, working with a rookie quarterback this year due to Tyrod going down. Stephon Diggs. Julio Jones is still there. Tyreek Hill. Michael Thomas. You know, even with the ankle injury, he's still capable of putting up crazy numbers. Things have been a little funny, you know, with the Saints this year. But, I mean, it's so many, I can keep going. And the thing about when we talk about the top receivers that I always like to remind people, the top 5 or the top 10, I feel, are interchangeable. So it's based on who you like, your preference, their style of play, and they can go on any team and be a number one receiver, and they will still be productive. DeAndre Hopkins, let me not leave him out. Another one, you know, he's probably 1A, 1B when it comes to him and Devontae. Two different styles of play, but can get the job done no matter what. Especially D-Hop. He's done it with a merry-go-round of quarterbacks.
Well, you know, and the crazy thing is, too, with him is you never have to wonder if he's getting his feet down on the sideline or in the back of the end zone. He has an uncanny ability to know where he is. You did leave one out, and I know you would, but because you can't name them all off the top of your head. But what about DK Metcalf?
Oh, yeah, DK is up there. DK is up there. But I think it's DK's second year, right?
Yep.
I think a little bit great receiver. But the guys that I'm naming have been doing it 3 and 4+ years consistently. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I think when DK puts together another season, when they know you're coming, when they know you're good, when they know what you can do and what you're capable of doing, and you still do it, you still get it done, you know? And that's what D-Hop has been able to do, and Stephon Diggs and Michael Thomas and these guys that I'm naming. They consistently do it year in and year out when you know what's coming. And DK, only in his second, promised, and his ceiling is super high, super high. And I'm really happy for him. And I think he's going to be in the ballpark to be mentioned with those guys that I just named in another year.
Ocho Cinco here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about the Sports Illustrated Awards. We talked a little bit about it with Richard Jefferson yesterday. So how many wardrobe changes for you in this one, Chad? What do you got?
You know, I just did one. I just did one. You know, I'm known to be very fashionable.
Yes, I know.
Very inexpensive fashionable. So I had on a suit. I got from Target.
Okay.
I got it from Target. But I got it hemmed and I got it altered to make it look like it's something Italian and expensive, but it's not. But it's not. So I paid $40.
Okay.
Off the rack. Got it tailored. Got a nice turtleneck, $20. It was on sale in Target. Obviously, it's a holiday sale, so I got some good deals, and I had everything altered to fit, a very European fit. And I mean, it's good. I look like money up there, but what people don't know is my entire outfit was $65.29. I can't remember the total.
Well, the good thing, Chad, is you're being economical there because you have been particularly generous lately, as we're seeing, and of you dropping off tips for wait staffs that you come across. You've been insanely generous there, so it's good on you, Chad Ocho Cinco.
Thank you. That's something I've always done. And the fact that I was so cheap throughout the years, obviously when I was playing, I really have all my money left over. So I'm not going to spend it. So why not bless those that are working, not only during these times, but just in general. If people know me throughout Cincinnati and wherever else I've traveled to, I've always been known to tip well just because, you know, just wanting to be a blessing in some sort.
I miss you, Chad. I'm not going to lie. We got to do this more often. Like, literally, we spoke almost once a month during the beginning of NFL Network from 03 to you know, the rest of the decade. I miss talking to you. I'm, it's been too long.
I'm here. My number's the same.
Okay.
My number's the same.
I see it right down here. It does match the one that I had. So I'm not going to lose that number. And just officially, are you Chad Johnson, official, like in the state of, like in the government eyes?
Yeah.
Like, just, okay, so, but we just.
Yeah, I changed it back in 2010.
Okay.
But for some reason, nobody says Chad, nobody says Chad Johnson. Everybody just says Ocho. They don't even throw the Cinco on there. They just say Ocho.
Okay.
They just call me eight.
Okay.
And
so
that has stuck with me for a while now.
Why not? I mean, why? And by the way, the current Ocho Cinco, how good is he? I know you did that for the grind when you visited Carson up in Idaho, and you and he watched T. Higgins together with Burrow.
Yeah,
he's the real deal. Hey,
he's nice. He's nice.
He sure is.
He's nice, and the fact that he's just a rookie, the fact that he's just a rookie, and Burrow is just a rookie, and they're picking up right where they left off in college. You know, as far as his poise and consistency at the receiver position, I had a chance to talk with T. He reached out to me about some struggles early in the season, maybe week one or week two, about not winning the single coverage battles, you know, when everyone else is double team, when they were doubling A.J. Green and they were doubling Boyd. And I told him, don't dance at the line. Just go. Just go. Pick a side, dip a shoulder, and just go and beat him to the transition point, and you're going to win every time. And ever since that talk, it's like he's just been out the roof.
Ocho, I miss you, man. Let's do this more often. I'll reach out to you. We'll stay in touch, and I look forward to seeing you in your Target Italian-looking suit on 20 or more streaming platforms tomorrow for the Sports Illustrated Awards with you and Richard Jefferson on mm-hmm. YouTube, Twitch, mm-hmm. TikTok, Twitter, and more. I look forward to seeing
you. Yeah. Most definitely. Man, I love you, Rich, and
right
everybody listening. I love you as well. And anybody else in there that can hear me, I love you too.
All right, 10 and a half. That's what I'm telling you, 10 and a half.
Okay. I got you. In right. blue. Michigan blue.
That's it. Thank you for the thank you for that, Chad. Let's chat again soon. That's the one and only Ocho. I do love that guy. I miss him. Oh, look at that. That looks like what?
There
Why
you
wouldn't
go,
I want to walk around my house in that?
Those look very comfortable.
I like literally am
Not
falling asleep just looking at them.
Yeah, when you brought up the Debos, my first thought was
footwear.
Debo from Friday, but I didn't realize that was
look
yeah,
at those slippers. Man.
Those are comfortable.
I've had about five pairs of those in my life.
Footwear. Whew. Footwear. Okay, we're going to come back, and I'll take a phone call or two. And then it's higher register, and it's going to be, as the kids say, lit. I'm not going to lie to you. Not going to lie to you. Do not change the channel. Do not touch that dial. I know I'm aging myself when I say that, like Austin Eckler's laughing wherever he is.
This week on Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski, Peyton Manning.
This is Ron Jaworski. Today I am joined by legendary quarterback Peyton Manning. You know, in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz had a run of like 4 years of playing terrific quarterback, and all of a sudden he gets benched. How surprised are you by that?
It's probably a good year that there aren't many fans allowed at Philly Stadium when you were being
You're right about that. Have you ever given thought about possibly becoming an NFL owner or a general manager of an NFL team? I've always envisioned you in that role.
Yeah, Jaws, I mean, I keep looking for that $3 billion, but I just can't find it. It must be in another account that I'm not aware of. So,
hey, I got a C-note in my pocket. I'll invest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll form a group.
Download new episodes of Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski every Wednesday and Friday on Podcast One and all your favorite podcasting platforms.
I'm telling you, this is exciting. I know Browns and Giants, nobody saw this one coming, but Joe Judge and Kevin Stefanski, the story you're going to hear about these two guys knowing each other from high school, you know, and neither of them wound up as Biff. They're both Marty McFlys. They're both, you know, like one did punch out the other figuratively to beat him out for a quarterback's job, but both of them have succeeded. And I'm very excited to watch Browns Giants Sunday Night Football, Sunday, 7 Eastern Time. They will be all over that. I'm sure there will be, you know, back in the day, yearbook pictures, all of that good stuff. Joe Judge and Kevin Stefanski. That'll be on Sunday Night Football. Alan, Chris. By the way, that was the last Thursday night game of the year. No more Thursday night games.
Yeah.
You got two on Saturday, the rest on Sunday, Monday, and then you're going to have Christmas. The Saints and the Vikings play on Christmas Day. And when the Vikings and Saints play on Christmas Day a week from today, there will have been a game on every single day of the week played in the 2020 NFL season. So we're back here on the Mightier 1090 and Sirius XM NBC Sports Audio Channel 211 every single day after the Dan Patrick Show. And we are every day after the Dan Patrick Show right here on NBC Sports on Peacock, taking you to Brother from Another, Michael Holly, Michael Smith. Let's go to Peter and... Well, let's get it. He's been hanging on for an hour, calling in from Copenhagen, Denmark. What's up?
Whoa.
Peter?
Hey, Rich. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Denmark.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, I just got home from work, and lovely Friday, so that means I can watch last night's football game on the TV.
Okay.
It's on so late over here, so I just got done.
Shouldn't let you know.
Watching the game.
Oh, okay, so no spoiler. I'm sorry you've been on hold long enough. You might have heard the result.
No, no, but I saw the game just and then I called, so I actually have that in my mind before trying to come through to your show. But each day you provide me with useful information regarding the world of sports and
Excellent.
Popular culture.
Thank you.
I thought I'd give a little bit back.
All right.
I hope you know that a Danish guy is in the NFL Hall of Fame, kicker Morten Andersen.
Oh, please, of course. A great day.
Of course. Yes. We currently have a guy on the Houston Texans roster. He's an offensive lineman who was drafted last year by the Patriots. They released him earlier this year, but he got picked off by the Texans. So hopefully he can get his career back on track earlier in the preseason. Another offensive lineman was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, But he also, unfortunately, got released. But he's still there, so you never know.
So, look, so let's just hang our hat on Morton Anderson and just and hope for the best from here on out. What do you think about that, Peter?
So, sorry, I didn't hear
that. No, I love the recounting. What's your favorite team? I mean, how prevalent is the NFL watching over in Denmark? What is it?
Oh, it's really, really big. A lot of people watch it. And that actually leads me to my next point, if you have the time.
I have about 30 seconds because I got a Dynamite Hire register.
I can't wait to talk about it. Fellow Michigan alumni, Amani Toomer.
Yes.
He works for Danish TV because he lives with his Danish wife in Denmark.
Peter from Denmark. Thank you. Hey, happy holidays to you, Peter. Thank you for the call.
Yes, and I appreciate the same to all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for saying what you say about,
one, Peter, man.
About our show. I think that's – I love this, man. We are just
– amazing.
We are the world. We are the children.
Hey, now.
Internationally known from the east to the west coast, you know.
This is great.
Love hot butter on the breakfast
toast. I love it. That was great.
I heard that on the radio this morning.
Yeah. Terrific.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know why I get such a kick out of that.
Because they're in another country across a pond,
yes.
And they're listening to us. That's amazing.
Yes.
And it's like 10 o'clock at night there.
That's great. Yeah.
That's commitment.
Just I don't like the term pond.
You do or don't?
Yeah, because I'm a boat guy. I don't like the pond thing.
Have you named your boat yet? Somebody, you came up with a good
Adios.
One. Adios.
That's it. That's the winner.
Yeah, somebody tweeted us yesterday,
adios.
Rich.
Two Pump Chump is not even going to know. Adios.
Look, we had our fun with Two Pump Chump. You can't name your boat Two Pump Chump because even the great United States Coast Guard would look at that and go, I don't think we're saving that boat. Let it sink.
We're not saving that.
No,
we're not boarding Two Pump Chump.
What a bunch of idiots. Seriously.
They're just going to let them drown? They're going to let it sink, Rich?
But get
this
back
is
to
great.
Pond thing, I'm sorry.
This is great. Are we ready for a higher register? This is going to be I'm particularly excited about this edition of
Higher Register. You've been really talking to your
head. It's
here
better be good.
Go for it. Let's hit it, please.
There's a chance.
The Rich Eisen shows.
That there could be.
Higher Register. Take of the week.
All right, so again, we've noticed that sometimes you've just got to go higher register to believe the thought that you have, the theory that you have. You just got to go up here in order to believe it. So, Chris, you're first up. Go ahead.
I noticed something this week, guys. This is what I noticed. Did you see that great video of Tiger and his son, Charlie?
Yes, I did.
Tiger Woods, as we know, has won 15 majors.
He's
arguably the greatest golfer of all time and one of the greatest athletes of all time. He's certainly one of my favorite athletes, okay? Charlie Woods is 11 years old. He has already won multiple junior golf titles in the state of Florida. He has on his bag the world's greatest golfer, okay? So I am going to go out on a limb with my higher register, and I'm going to say, you know what, guys? Charlie Woods could be even better than Tiger.
Yes! That is your best higher register ever.
I think
ever.
It could be even better than Tiger.
Just seeing that one piece of video. Fantastic.
It's going to take 30 years to see what happens, but...
Delightful. Delightful.
Okay.
What do you have over there, TJ? What do you have?
Well, this one won't be as good as his because that...
Don't worry, neither as good as mine, so don't worry.
Well, you know, the NBA season's back, guys.
Yes.
You know, and very short offseason, obviously the shortest in record. And, you know, over the last few months, the NBA noise has all been James Harden and Honey Buns.
Yes.
And Kyrie and Peasants. And will Antetokounmpo stay or will he go?
Yes.
I'm looking at this class of rookies, right? And I'm looking at a young man who's... kind of jumped on the scene around the age of 15, 16 from a family that's been well known in the basketball world.
Oh, baby.
You know, I would say he has a brother who's in the league.
Yes.
He's doing pretty well. And he had another brother who came close but didn't quite get there. And now he's there and he's plying his trade, as they say. And it all came from a man, much like Tiger, a father who told the world, he said, these three boys are going to make an impact. Looks like he might be right. All that being said, yes. I've been watching this kid. The handle is nice. He's out there. I might nickname him the snitch. You know why? Because he drops dimes. Okay? I'm going to say this right now. LaMelo Ball, he's going to lead the NBA in dimes this season.
Oh!
But Brand went up 12%.
okay? Wow. Let me get it one time, Mike. Let me get it one time.
My brand went up 12%. Good. Even when you lose, I win.
That's big ball brand is here to stay. Nice.
LaMelo is going the he snitch because nice. Okay. He drops dimes.
All
Let's
right.
go.
You guys have come up with maybe your best higher registers yet, so I'm so glad I have mine. Because I love this segment, and I love what it's turned into, and I just love, you know, what we do every day here. And part of that is because, and I mean this truly, and you know I say this, is you're part of this show, TJ, and you've been part of the show behind the scenes. Now you're in front of the scenes, and we, if you will, made it official by asking you to provide a photograph for our YouTube banner photograph. Okay.
Oh my god.
And you provided it, and Sean Mitchell at home, one of our top notch, our two home guys, Sean Mitchell and Mike Hoskins have been dynamite putting this show together.
The best.
So Sean put together your photograph with the photograph that was already there, and you're looming over everybody.
Yeah, he's a little big.
Okay, you're looming all over everybody. And so that got sent around in a text exchange between all of us, and one of us made it sound like that you're a little bit taller than you should be in the photograph. And that's my higher register. Maybe Chris Brockman truly is very upset about being smaller than TJ in the new Rich Eisen Show YouTube header photo. Maybe he really isn't very happy about that.
I mean,
even though he's thrilled that you're part of the group, right? I can speak for you.
Obviously, but very thrilled.
I don't know if you're real.
he is not happy with that picture.
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead, Don. Put it up because, you know, I mean, oh, I know these are private, not intended to be made public, but, you know, I mean, he's towering over us. Shrink him down. And Don Boy's like, looks pretty accurate. I mean, now I think of it, Mike and I are nowhere near the same size. Sean Mitchell's like, that's the same photo of you three before. And Brockman, is TJ too tall in this pic? And he put together, you know, that fun moment we had about Kingpin the other day. He's good. Still way too big in the YouTube banner, though, which was, as you could see, one was Sunday, November 29th. This was Wednesday. He brought it back up this week, 10 days later. My higher register. I think Brockman really is pretty, very upset about this. I
mean, okay, let me just air this out.
Okay? Haters gonna hate. Okay? Haters gonna hate.
Mike, how tall are you?
I think I'm like 5'9", 5'10". 5'9", 5'10".
Mike, come on.
He's not 5'10".
Mike, come
Don't
on.
Don't turn to him for help. Mike, he's got no
you're
help.
You're like Tom Cruise, bro.
I'm 5'10".
I am a good 4 to 5 inches taller than Mike, okay?
You are not
and when
close.
You look at the YouTube photo, we look like the same size.
I have a hat.
So then...
The hat. It's you know, 3 inches.
I don't know.
It's just not accurate, okay? The YouTube banner photo, not accurate size, okay? You know when you look at like a Cracker Box or like a cereal, you know, not actual size? That's what the YouTube banner needs to say. Not actual size.
I don't know. I mean,
I look wide. I don't like how wide I look.
TJ looks 5 inches taller than me, and that's not the case, okay?
How tall are you?
I'm 6 feet tall.
Okay.
How tall
Rich
are you?
Rich and I are the same height.
You're 6'3". Okay? That's like look, 3 inches. That's how tall you are to ride the ride
And if you look, like, Rich and I are the same height, okay? And in the YouTube banner photo, I'm like 3 inches shorter. That's not how it happened,
We
okay?
have been doing higher register for 4 months now. We've never had a higher register more quickly confirmed than what we just saw.
Yeah, it usually takes a couple days.
He really is upset about it.
By the way, for months, I would say to this guy, Rich, I would say, why don't we just take a new picture? And Brockman would always be very dismissive about it, like, oh, whatever, nobody cares. And I said, this was a conversation Chris and I had at least 3 times. I'm like, let's just take a new picture, whatever. Then we do the picture, and he's like, well, why is he so big?
I got to be honest with you. So
we can take a new photo.
Oh, no,
we're not taking a new photo.
This is staying now. I mean, nobody's touching this YouTube photo banner.
I'm going on an Apple box next time.
Oh, my God. It's so funny because I was sitting around last night. I'm doing my, you know, usually Thursday night poker Zoom, and I'm thinking, what's going to be my higher register tomorrow? And I couldn't think of a sports take, and I just looked up, and I saw on my computer screen this photograph on the YouTube banner. I'm like, that's it.
I mean, my arm cuts off. I'm kidding. I love it. I think it's great. Oh, my God.
That's a good laugh.
Rich. Fantastic.
That was good.
That's a good
one. He really is.
Mike, you're 5'10". Let me just pull up the picture of us with Shaq. Like,
all right, go.
You're not even close.
Send the picture.
Hour number three, the actor Scott Glenn. If Chris can pull it together, his news update and his sneaky good games as we take you to the weekend and more of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. I cannot wait to talk to this man. Enjoyed his work for so many years and so many must-see remote drop movies. Scott Glenn coming up, hour three.
Oh, I mean, I'm like 4 inches taller than you in this photo.
Let me see.
What are we doing?
No, I think we actually have the photograph that's available. I mean, I think Don may have it somewhere in his computer or back there.
I got to look.
The Shaq one.
I have it.
These guys with Shaq.
From the Atlanta.
From the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was crouched down a little in that picture.
That was good.
No, I mean, the problem is that it's difficult to size us because the man we're taking a photograph with was so outsized. He's such an outsized human.
Where's the Shaq one?
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable. So, you know, if you think that Brockman, you in relation to Mike is...
I'm crouched down a little in the shackle.
Oh, is stop not, it.
The, I can see it.
If you think you and Mike are improperly sized, you know, that was the photograph from the YouTube header for a very long time.
They just added
TJ. And then we just added TJ.
Now that our YouTube banner is blowing up,
you wanted him shrunk down. Like...
Look, I'm a tall drink of water, bro.
Honey, I shrunk the TJ.
Del Tufo looks like James Harden. He's like inflated.
That went about as well as I had hoped. I'm not going to lie.
That was good, bro.
James Harden.
You didn't see that one coming.
I thought you had a sports take that you were like super hot about.
Nope.
Fantastic, Rich.
Nope. I'm like, what better way? Because you know we've been talking about this off camera for literally 3 weeks. What better time to do it than this way? Oh, yeah. Hour three coming up.